Hello everyone. Today we have Annalise with us. Annalise is correct?
Annalisa.
Annalisa. Okay, so today we have Annalisa with us, and she is currently the head of CRM at Mr. D Foods in South Africa, which is a food delivery app in South Africa, doing quite well. And previously, of course, she has worked at Estee Lauder for about 3 years, and prior to that she worked at Emirates for about 6 years. And she started as cabin crew, made her way into CRM, and now is leading a CRM team. So with that, Annalise, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Karan.
Thanks for joining in. I mean, I really appreciate where you're coming from, and you know, like, we had an initial chat and it was super nice and very intriguing. So we thought in this episode we are going to talk about, like, how do you sort of enter CRM as a junior coming from a different field, and how do you then make your, you know, move into the world of CRM, so to say.
Perfect. So, and it always sounds really easy and very clean and very natural when you talk about it in retrospect, right? Like, when you're there, you've got like hardly any clue where you're headed. But when you look back, you're like, yeah, okay, it all makes sense.
we try to make sense of what has happened to our lives anyway. So I think that's what we are going to do today as well. But to start us off, you know, would you mind giving us a run through of like what your career trajectory has been like since you started and now up until head of CRM?
Sure. So I've got a very interesting career. I've made many choices that was like kind of an eyebrow raiser that ended up like working really well. So I've got like a before Emirates and after Emirates career trajectory. And the decision to move to Dubai as cabin crew actually like completely catapulted me into a different direction. So before then, I studied business. I always loved the strategic side of marketing more back then. Like, Google was still in beta, giving away my age here, but like Google Analytics was still in beta. And, you know, it was like analysis in marketing was still a very like foreign concept, especially in South Africa. So what I would do is I would actually like have my own little Excel spreadsheet and like download my own raw data and like keep a little track of everything. So I've always been naturally interested in the analysis side and like the findings and the data. Anyway, you know, I turned 27, thought I wanted to go see the world. Joined Emirates as cabin crew and kind of put my career on hold for like a year or two. And I was fortunate, like I told you in our chat, I think if you do an interview, you're like, yeah, I absolutely planned it that way. You know, I went there with the mission to join the marketing team, but in all honesty, I just wanted to travel the world. And I was very lucky I got this opportunity in the marketing team at Emirates, in the advertising team. So it was kind of split. There was a digital team that was more tech savvy, and then you had the advertising team, which was more like your project managers and, you know, kind of more like the branding side of things, briefing. And I was fortunate to fall in the Skywards team, so that we kind of were like a smaller team, smaller budget. So, you know, you're included in all the different fields and spheres, and you can get out of your lane a little bit. So that's where I completely fell in love with data and the analysis side, like segmentation, personalization. Our main method of communication was email back then. And in like, you know, in browser or in app eventually. So so it was really super interesting. You could just absolutely track the efficacy of all your communication. So I fell in love, did that for 4 years, absolutely loved it, and just decided I was kind of done with Dubai. It was time to come home, just in time for COVID. And during that like COVID, I call it my COVID sabbatical, I did a whole lot of courses, like as technical as can be. And I tried to like get into HTML, you know, get into SQL, get into the programmatic side. Cause for me back then I was like, I love the tech side of things. I'm just going to go, you know, I'm going to go full digital. So then I was picked up by a CRM agency, and I did not know what CRM was at the time. And I didn't realize that I was kind of primed for it throughout my career. And my curiosity and my interest always kind of swerved me in that direction. So I joined the CRM agency, and within like 5 months, Estee Lauder Companies picked me up as a CRM manager. And I spent the bulk of my CRM journey there just learning, and it's like a one-man CRM band. So I basically had a blank canvas of what I can be interested in and, you know, how far I want to take it. And, you have this like global network also of CRM experts, which is just fantastic because you get to have these kinds of conversations on the daily, which is quite rare, right, in CRM. So yeah, and now I'm head of CRM at Mr. D. Still fairly new, only a few months in. So it's kind of been quite a clean journey of like agency to corporate and like a mid-level management. And now I've got, you know, I'm head of department, so I can make some decisions along with my CMO and the leadership team and kind of try and steer the CRM narrative into the right direction. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
That's wonderful. And there are so many interesting aspects of your journey, because I think right from like getting into CRM, and just having that natural tendency to look at data, to try to see, okay, well, how are customers behaving? I think that's like the core at what CRM is. And then what I also found interesting is like, you know, how you said, okay, you were going to do these courses. And then, you know, what you said was basically you have like these HTML tech courses. And I often see CRM also as content and, you know, things like that. So maybe we use that as a foundation for this conversation, right? And I like, I'd love to ask your opinion on, you know, what were those days like when you were at Emirates and use, you know, like, let's say you were just thinking about getting into CRM, as you said, like an agency picked you up, but like, what were some of the things that you feel contributed to them, you know, seeking you out and like you also taking up the challenge to take a take on CRM as your new career?
Oh, that's an interesting like part of my career, because I was fortunate at Emirates. I had you have like all these brainiacs around you that you like working with and working alongside, and I was also very fortunate that the ones that I was working alongside, they didn't mind being questioned and sharing the knowledge. So I was always sitting on the desks of your digital team, of your engineers, of, you know, your data scientists, and like trying to pick their brain. So the interesting thing, what I didn't realize, is I was picking up syntax without understanding the syntax, if that makes sense. Like, they were explaining the logic of how to segment and how you can slice and dice the database. They were explaining the logic to me in a structured way, so that when I eventually did my SQL and I'm now trying to like wrap my head around Python, they said it was easy. It's the easiest language, but they lied. Like if now with, you know, the way that you use SQL, it's almost like I can already understand the language. I just need to like figure out the characters almost. So like that's the one side of it, like how you can actually slice and dice the database, for me was a key learning point, like in my whole career. Because if you know your customer, you can kind of give them content that would suit them. And at Emirates, you're fortunate because you're selling travel, and the people on your database, they're traveling already. So it's not a very forcible sell, it's not a hard sell. So what would happen is the business would come with a brief. We've got empty seats for business class to this region in that time frame. And then it's like, okay, cool, it's business class. So it has to be like someone who's maybe flown business class. And you go to the data scientists and they're like, yeah, okay, we can get you that, but, you know, and okay, we can build a segment, but. And you just get to learn so much about your customer so that eventually you can start personalizing. Like it's just it's almost like an automatic thing to then think, okay, content, how do I approach these guys? How do I formulate a user journey that would get them to convert, or that would, you know, get them to do whatever we want to do? So the data was the absolute core of it, like understanding the data points and the various clustering that you can do with, you know, your customers and segments, etc. It's the key. It's the absolute key for CRM is understanding what you can do with data and then how to translate that into marketing communications, or like effective, yeah. You know what I mean? Like personalized and.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can second that experience as myself as well, because when I started my career, you know, it was at HelloFresh, which is also like a meal kit delivery company. And at that point, when I joined the team, it was, I think as juniors, the first you might have gotten a better deal actually, because you know what we were doing as juniors was pretty much we were given a brief that this is what we want to do with like you know with CRM, like send out these emails or whatever. And then over the first 6 months, I think it was mainly just like sort of understanding how to execute on this, right? Like learning the tech that was behind it, right? We were using a tool, a CRM tool for sending out these comms. And I feel like in the first 6 months, we were just getting a hang of like, okay, what kind of information do we even store on a user, right? Like what are custom events versus, you know, what are attributes? And right. I think like it's, you're just thrown into this. Right?
Like, where do you click to do that? And how do you set up a deployment? And
Yeah, exactly. And how do you manage conflicts between like different things going out, right? Because I think what you were mentioning with Emirates, it's more clean in that sense where you mm-hmm. have like a brief and you want to execute that. And you don't really send so much out that you also need to mm-hmm. understand, like, you know, if the user journey or sort of, yeah. you know, more
and I mean,
globally.
We have those challenges as well, but I just, you know, like I said, I think I'm just very lucky. The team that I felt in retrospect, now looking back, the fact that it primed, because I didn't know that I was actually being, let's just call it primed for CRM. I didn't know how valuable that would be going forward. You just kind of, you know, in a job where you just adopt new processes and you just do whatever you do. And we'd get a brief. And the thing is that the lucky thing is we knew we only had so many channels. And depending on the budget, obviously, then you can expand on the channels. You can bring in above the line. You can bring in some out of home, etc. But for us, you usually only had these three. So now it's like, okay, cool. You've got, let's say, for example, you've got the segment that prefers three times a week. You know, we never did back to back. So if the business briefs you something, it's like, no, but that would push it to four times a week. So with the business objective, if it's business critical, of course we do that. Otherwise, so you also then like start learning the strategy, etc. But the important thing, you just mentioned something. I think that a lot of people make this mistake, and this is going to become like a whinging session, but email marketing does not equal CRM. Like it's, you don't have to know HTML. You don't have to be an email marketing specialist to be good at CRM. Like that's a very good starting point, but it's not like the only starting point. And I'm the best example of that because, I didn't touch at Emirates. I think we went from Cheetah Mail to Salesforce. I don't remember anyway. We like switched. So, I didn't see the front end or the UX of that tool in my 4 years working in that team.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, it's very, it would have been valuable maybe, but it didn't stop me later on. You know, there's like, I don't think that there's any clear one path to get you to into CRM. You just kind of have to be this naturally curious, you know, go and you just have to be very, I guess, analysis focused and a bit more techy and a bit more strategic and, yeah, I don't know. It's a very good question. How do you get to CRM?
So maybe let me flip this question to you then, right? Like you know, right now as a head of CRM, let's say if a new CRM, like you're training a junior CRM professional, you know, how would you go about it? Like, would you start them off with some initial campaigns, ask them to think about it and then work on it? Or like, what would your approach be, right? And you're allowed to think out loud on this one and just like talk about like what kind of things would you be thinking about?
It's like, it might be controversial to answer because I'm actually like currently busy with that because I'm still new. And like, you know, you're almost doing like a skills audit in your team and seeing what exists, you know, where the opportunities are, etc. And what I'm trying to do, and this is turning out into such an interesting exercise, what I'm trying to do is almost map a bullet point list of skills that you'd need at each level to make up the optimal CRM team, if you will. So if you have like a minimal skills assessment before you start as a junior, and then almost like a progression plan of skills that you need to pick up to then understand certain things. So for me, I wonder if it's a certain skill level. I mean, we spoke about this in our chat. I don't think there is something like a CRM junior, right? It doesn't technically exist in the way that, for example, you'd have like a junior analyst who comes with like 1 year of specific skill, and then, you know, they can already kind of hit the ground running. With CRM, there's so much. There's just so many different facets to it. And then it's also dependent on the product, on the organization, on the size of the organization, etc. So for me, it's more attitude. And then, okay, if you've got like a little bit of something, if you've got like a coding background, if you've got, you know, whether it is HTML and you're more front end codes, or whether it's the data languages like SQL, Python, great. If you've got a marketing background, but you're also a little bit more technical, like maybe in the paid or programmatic space, or if you've got a product background, like something just maybe a little bit more technical, and then I'm happy to like start you off and then set this kind of journey in front of you that would then take you from And like these three elements for me make up the CRM team almost. Your first one being it's the data, it's the analysis. So you have to understand the relational data table, how it like interacts with each other, how it's set up, what is available, what's not available. For example, you were talking about attributes and events earlier, and those cost money, right? So which ones do we need? Which ones don't we need? Like you, if you had to like whatever, you just got to coordinate. I'm lucky I've got a BI team and data engineers. So okay, if you had to coordinate with them, like you don't want to waste their times and just do all of it. So like you kind of need someone who understands that part of data as well without necessarily being a data scientist, and then be able to report on activities and have like insights that could then filter through. So that's one stream that you can then take the junior and kind of mold them into, because you've got data analysis courses, you've got, you know, you've got SQL or Python or whatever, you've got getting them to run reports, getting like teaching them to present insights and learnings. So that's one interesting theme or stream. The second one then is your ops. We spoke about this, like, you know, that's kind of where you started off, where you've got your channels. Let's say you've got either only email or push notifications, some have SMS, WhatsApp, whatever you've got. You need to also understand then the channel behavior and the technical aspects of those. Like email is such a complex, and I love everyone always says email is dead. And I think anyone in the CRM field kind of knows, you know, it's not. It's such a powerful lifecycle tool if it's used correctly. It's just the struggle of, you know, getting the company to adopt it correctly instead of just ticking the boxes and getting another piece of comms out. That's a topic for another day. But anyway, so you've got like your channel specialization and then your operational thing of like keeping the boat afloat in terms of your communications and the operations and the traffic that's involved in that. So you need to understand deliverability. You need to understand various ISPs. You need to understand A-B testing, test and learn, implementation of it, personalization, dynamic content, you segmentation, like, you know, everything that's kind of involved in that, which has like also a very specific kind of stream or thread. And then the third one for me, which is very important, is also the very technical side of automation and lifecycle. And that could be anything from like your engineering space to product liaison. Like you need to understand how the tech is integrated and like what a roadmap is and how to make a business case to put certain things on the roadmap and what's important, what's not important. And you need to kind of explore all that technology and innovation. And these three streams then kind of, you know, have to work together and then filter everything down. So if you've got a junior, you'll like automatically see, if you're fortunate enough to have them for years, then you'll see them kind of veering towards one of these three, or you'll have like a generalist, you know, person that would veer towards one or the other. But yeah, in my case, it was all three, like all of the above. So that's what ended up getting me here, is that I might have started more on the lifecycle side, veered more towards the analysis side, and kind of came in late with the tech. But I'm there now, you know, we're always learning and you're always improving. But that's kind of how I see. So if you've got like a very like weight behind the ears kind of junior joining your team, it's the attitude of wanting to learn and wanting to understand, really, more than it's the hard skills or the qualifications, for me, I feel, because if you're naturally curious, it would get you there, because you'll always be learning. You'll always be picking up new things and trying to figure out, because, you know, CRM, sometimes it's not a clear solution. It's like a patch. It's like a patched hack to find a cool way to do something. There's not necessarily an easy solve. So yeah. So I don't know. What do you think? I know that you've also thought about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the three things that you put out so cleanly, you know, like, because I feel like, and to your point, right, like you have data, you have ops, and you have the technical side of CRM. And I feel like for all three of them, like the one thing that juniors often struggle with is like, how do you enter any of these three fields? Because if you're getting into a CRM role, let's say, which is just execution driven, typically people would ask for experience with that tool, or, you know, you might need that. But you can't have that in any other job but in CRM. So it's kind of a catch-22, right? Like you can't have these skill sets or the foundations of any of it, right? Like be it data, be it the technical side, or especially the technical side of CRM. I think like you can't get that without having a first-hand experience in either product or as an analyst. Or, you know, I was lucky that I was a product data analyst, you know, when I was doing my thesis. And I think that helped me to very quickly understand, like, okay, how are we segmenting users? You know, what kind of data can be reported on? How do you experiment? And I think that became like a route to CRM, because then, you know, things are much more natural, because once you get into it, you're like, you know, I feel there's a fourth bucket there where, which is more about also like user psychology and, you know, understanding the strategic side of CRM and what it can do for you. Because a lot of the times, as you said, right, it's the difficulty is also that the CRM, as it is defined in each of the companies, is not only product specific, but it's also specific to, I feel like, how much the leadership team has bought into the idea of CRM and like what value it can deliver. I've seen CRM teams which are just dispatch centers versus CRM teams who really, you know, are working and improving the product or helping improve the product significantly. So I think there's just so much happening that I think it's just very hard to define like one thing that you would enter as.
And you touched on something so important now, where if you're going to keep like basically just building your team from the bottom up with very operational, very, you know, like churning out content becomes the core of the CRM team, and it distracts from everything else, which is like the second thing that you mentioned now, where we're headed. We're like very much blurring the lines between marketing and product, and where product is almost your translation between engineering and the business, CRM is almost the translation between engineering and market and the customer, like marketing, right? Like, and those two, like from both sides are being blurred. And if you've got your very, like, you've got an email dev junior or someone, like you've got them in your team, you've got a team of 10 email devs, they might not be interested in going into product. They might not be interested in communication and user psychology, like you said, or segmenting and building buckets. So that's a very good point, that fourth one, to kind of focus only on, okay, cool, where are we headed, like from the user psychology sphere?
Yeah, exactly. And to just generate like better hypotheses and things like that, because I think with each of the buckets, what's happening is, and this is so common, right, among companies that I've worked with as well, because you have like certain people who specialize. Also, another challenge with CRM is that you can't really specialize in any of those buckets and have a very strong career path. Like, I think, but maybe that's up to a debate, right? But I feel like if you are an ops person, and if you really specialize in, you know, understanding how to execute campaigns and, you know, what all is involved, like what briefing, you know, you let's say you nail the process completely, it's not like you're going to become a head of CRM just because you're very good at ops, exactly. Right?
You'll hit your ceiling in CRM. And
exactly.
Not, it's really true.
And same with data, right? Like I've seen a lot of people that I've worked with initially sort of complain, right, about CRM being, you know, very low ceiling, you know, team, because you can't really specialize. It's not like product management where you go from a junior PM and you work your way up. And I think we don't have a defined career path. It's more like, you know, you pick up, but I think that poses a very big opportunity for people, because then what you want to do is you can understand the data team. I think CRM at the core is about working with a lot of different teams, and then that has its own downsides, because, you know, you of course need to understand everything about or concerns from every team, but then you become a very good generalist. You become a good voice for the customer within the organization, or it has the potential to be, at least.
And you back up with data, so, right? Because you always have in a meeting where you're like, okay, so data says this, and you always have that one person saying, but I think, like my opinion, and you're always like, I hear you, but you know, we've got like, we've got data, come on. But you said something very important now, generalist. Sorry for interrupting you, I get really excited about this.
No,
I remember in the beginning of my career, because I came from the business, I did the Bachelor of Commerce, like I went that route for marketing, not the design or creative route. And I always loved the strategy. I always loved the business side, like how to translate, you know, the product for the right product, right consumer, right message, that whole thing. And I remember everyone saying, but you want to specialize. You don't want to be a generalist specialist. That was like, you know, in the marketing sphere, that was like the worst thing you could do. And now it's so interesting, because I am a generalist specialist, because CRM, you have to understand all of it. you have to understand the business objectives, you have to know communication, the brand, you know, like the process is exactly what you just said, the different stakeholders and how they fit in, because you work, it's a kumbaya field. Like you work with all of them. You work with finance, you work with ops, customer service, you work with brand, you work with the product team, the engineers. So there's no way of getting into it except just like jumping into it and you know, like treading water until you start floating. And I think it's a certain attitude that gets you there. I'm not sure that there's a certain skill set that can get you there. It's an interesting challenge.
Yeah, it's a very interesting challenge. And I think like it's also, like you said, you know, it has its own specialties as well, which can be pretty deep and pretty technically challenging, right? Like, for example, you mentioned deliverability. And my wife always laughs at this when I tell her, you know, she was being trained in CRM recently, you know, and she wanted to get into like CRM and like internship and stuff like that. And when we started talking about it, when I told her that deliverability on its own is an industry of its own, right? Like it has its own vendors, it has its own sort of professional people. It kind of blew her mind because she's, you know, this is such a seemingly very small part of CRM, but then that has its industry on its own, right? And yeah. I think that's the...
I didn't even know. I mean, this is the great thing about being like, firstly, being in CRM. So it's got like, I think it's Emmanuel from Deezer. She said it's such a rich field. And I loved that explanation. It's so rich because there's always something that you would never expect. And then all of a sudden you're faced with it. So at Estee Lauder Companies, I was faced with deliverability. And we used a tool called Braze, and I'm not going to name him in case he doesn't want me to, but I ended up at like the door of this deliverability specialist, and this guy taught me so much. I learned so much from him, and I was just completely blown away. I did not even know that that was a thing. And then it's like you get into how the email gets sent and your different ISPs and the email clients, and like it's so interesting, so specific. Like you either do it right or you do it wrong. And if you do it wrong, you've got this, you know, you've got your deliverability expert to like help you fix it. So so now always with email marketing, like to a certain degree with push notifications as well, like I'm always checking the deliverability just in case, you know, like is it under 99.4? Okay, wait, let's circle back to it. Okay, I love that. No, your wife has quite an adventure ahead of her.
Take on what would be your, like, let's say, suggestion for someone who's getting into CRM right now, like would you prefer for them to get into one of these elements as like a starting point and then sort of generalize later on, or what would be your suggestion, let's say?
Ooh, good question. So now I'm like kind of naturally heading towards the path that I took, where it's like, you know, where you would have your own path. Everyone has their own path. Like I'm also listening, I like all your guests on the podcast, not one of them has like, yes, I studied, I worked for 2 years and now I'm a CRM expert. It just doesn't work that way. But you just like in one of your previous points where the three streams or the four streams that we kind of identified as like part of the ideal CRM team, if you will, they each have a specialist department. So it's almost like if you specialize beyond your CRM ceiling, it doesn't mean that you've reached your ceiling in the field. It just means that you'd want to kind of get out from under CRM and specialize further. Like for example, data is kind of its own thing, right? You want to become like a BI or like data engineer, whatever, like you've got a whole different kind of career path then. So I guess like at a mid management level, I would love to have you as part of the team. And then at some point you're going to have to go either specialize or generalize. So like as a junior, for me, the most important thing is the data, because the data then informs the tech, the data informs the communication channels, the data informs, you know, what you do with it, the automations. So if you're a junior, just like, and this is for me, like I said, I never understood this, but at Emirates, I was part of the advertising team. Like this already tells you, it's very traditional, you know, the show's very like branding focused, etc. But yet I had access to this, to the data, and I didn't even realize how much it would mean to me. So later on in my career, I did a data analysis short course, and it blew me away. It's so interesting. And I was like, yeah, right. Because we can do all this stuff with data, but if you just understand, I guess, a little bit more theoretically, the foundation of, or the baseline of even just analysis. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the coding or the actual like bucketing and segmentation from like a raw code base. Because most of these email clients, most of these CRM tools, they've got the GUI, right? So you don't necessarily need to understand the code, but it would be good to understand what is possible with the data, so that if you come into a company and you know, okay, cool, they only have, for example, first name, last name, email address, then it's like, what can I do with that? How can I segment? How can I look at other data points? How can I explore different, how can I forecast maybe? How can I tag my links? You need to understand what kind of questions you can ask, because that would inevitably lead you to the rest of it. You'd inevitably learn about tech. You'd inevitably learn maybe, you know, like automation and lifecycle journeys and the product side, et cetera. I know that you also have taken some of the Reforge courses, but I was pleasantly surprised with myself when I joined Reforge, and a lot of the stuff wasn't too new for me. Like, I enjoyed the structure, but it wasn't groundbreaking like the first time you study something and like, you know, if I go and study to be a doctor now, it would like blow my mind. It's not like that. So it's I think the data analysis side is maybe like, even if you're a junior, it doesn't matter which side you come in from. I feel the data analysis maybe is a good way to just kind of get you into the right flow. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, I would say like you can pick anything that sort of sparks your interest within those three. And it really comes back to that attitude factor that you spoke about, right? Because even if you want to, if you choose data as your entry point, and I think that's a very good entry point because it's very generally applicable, right? Like if you learn email marketing, there are a very handful of companies that might want to take a risk with you, right? Like, or start you on that position. But I think because really good data analysts typically don't apply for CRM roles, you might have a good advantage to get into those fields quickly. And then I think like, but you really need to have that attitude of what you just said, right? Like you took a short course, and it's not like you need to know how to write Python or, you know, how to write SQL queries. But even if you understand or you make the attempt to understand how someone works with it, it already enables you to talk to a person who knows it and, you know, like learn from them or tell them what kind of data you're looking into. And that's the same with email marketing. I think we don't have a lot of courses on email or push notifications or in-app messaging or just lifecycle marketing in general. But I think just having that ground, like if that's the thing that you want to start with, then it could be something like a Reforge, right? Like a retention and engagement series. And you do that and you understand like how a product grows. And if you see that, then generally you also can relate very well to like how communications or CRM plays a role in growing your business, right? And I think like that's what, So in one line, I think the recommendation would be like, you know, you pick something, one of those four or three or four buckets, and then just take, find the best sort of courses or like, you know, content that's out there to make your entry in that zone. And then you're anyway diverse, right? Like, I think once you get into it, you'll automatically diversify, because I don't think you can be in CRM and just say, okay, and now I'm just going to look at retention, and I don't know how data works. I don't know how comms work. I think you just need to get there anyway.
And you also have to be the kind of person that enjoys that, because some people, they do want to specialize and they want to, you know, get to work, do their job, go home. And with CRM, it's the opposite. You just never know what's waiting for you. Everything could be going swell, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong, like my run-in with deliverability. And it was like a three-week short course in deliverability with this expert. And you just learn so much. And now it's something, I'm not an expert by any means, but it's something that now I've kind of upskilled. And so you're constantly learning now with, I mean, you mentioned Reforge. It's amazing because, I mean, I didn't ever quite understand the product management field and like how that would fit in, because you don't always have access to these people, right? You don't always have access to colleagues. And like I said, I was very fortunate at Emirates. Now I'm very fortunate as well that you just have open access to anyone you want to have a chat with, and you can just ask them about things. So when I did Reforge, a lot of this stuff was like familiar to me, because in CRM, you need it. You need that structure. You need to understand the life cycle journeys. You need to understand the different life cycles, like how to bucket your acquisition, your retention, your reactivation, what do they call it? Resurrection. You know, it's also nice to read up on things and to, yeah. And I think that's where you're amazing. Cause I mean, you know, there's not always one blog or one like email marketing newsletter. There's not one place that you can kind of go to or turn to for information on CRM. You kind of have to just take it in little bits and pieces and then make your own assumption from it. But yeah, I mean, we're getting better at it, and Reforge was incredible for me. So like I said, it kind of feels like the product marketing and CRM, the lines are being blurred a little from both sides.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's something that's definitely helping or happening very quickly now. And especially, you know, I work with a lot of subscription apps, and I think like for subscription apps, it's becoming much more blurry, because then what's mm-hmm. happening is, because it's a subscription app, inherently you are talking about a relationship, right? Like when you're talking about, let's say, you know, something that's a bit more transactional, where I, like a retailer, right? Where I send you something mm-hmm. and you need to, you know, we expect you to buy, and that's what we are going to look at. I think CRM can still be a bit siloed and it can still work maybe. But with like subscription apps, if you're not working with the product teams, or if, let's say, if they're launching a new feature and you don't explain, or you don't do your job well to explain that to a certain segment of users when they are ready to hear it, I think you're missing out on so many opportunities. And I think that's like, that's why in subscription apps, it's definitely something that's getting much more blurry than maybe other domains or other verticals.
Do you find that, because I know that you consult with quite a lot of different companies, have you... It's like in more recently, like more and more, do you find CRM sitting not completely outside of marketing, but marketing kind of being a little bit split between your more traditional, more brand focused, more storytelling marketing, more creative side? And then you have like the more technical marketing, like your CRM, your performance media, and you know, them kind of sitting with your growth teams, your PM teams, under almost like engineering. Because I've heard this quite often. One company, I think it was Swiggy, I'm not sure, that I also heard, they've got a growth team, which is literally like, you've got marketeers sitting around the table with engineers, and for exactly that, because then you can, you know what the roadmap looks like, you know which features are big, which features are, what's the data that informed the roadmap, and the customer information that you can get from, you know, what the feature would mean to the consumer, and you can kind of inform your marketing, product marketing in that sense. Do you see that more and more? Is the world like moving in that direction?
I think it's a very, it's definitely changing a lot more. Like earlier, I think you would see very commonly, right? Like CRM teams being a marketing function. And and by that, I don't mean like they would not talk to the product team, but I would say like, you know, if we just consider how many touch points a CRM manager would have with the product team discussing user research or UX changes or new features, I think those number of touch points has increased irrespective of which team you sit under in you know, in the org chart. I do think that there are, you know, with the team structure you mentioned, where you have growth teams and you have like this one product marketing person who's doing sort of CRM, I found that to be less effective than a structure where you have a CRM team and you have like core CRM managers who then just have a touch point with, like, you know, you might have a responsibility of working with the PM teams and saying, okay, you know, we have our own roadmap. This is how you will brief us things, because you still need that sort of element of, you know, or your brain of like, you know, saying what actually works via CRM and what doesn't. And the only reason I mentioned that is because I have seen CRM people in the product team or in the product marketing role, and they just end up sending a lot of feature comms without understanding where they are sending it in. And, you know, you just need that whole picture anyway. And I feel like that's why I feel this other structure works a bit more effectively than, you know, than just having a CRM person in the group.
Grounded in like communications. You still have to, like, the comms piece is still the important element that, like, sets you apart from your product or your goal. I gotcha. That's
I think so. Because also, like, if you just look at all the other channels and the intricacies with it, right? Like, if you talk about in-app messaging, and there are just so many things that comes with in-app messaging. And I'm often surprised with this. Like, when I go to a team and when I look at their in-app messages, or sometimes it's, first of all, it's a very underutilized channel anyway. And I think once they start utilizing it, I'm so surprised to see that they don't do half the stuff that in-app messages can do for them, right? Like running quick surveys, making it much more interactive, using more interactive elements there. And I think, like, that's what I mean. Like, if you're grounded in CRM and if you have that sort of expertise, let's say you're launching a new feature, I can think of multiple ways in which I can use all these technologies to promote it in the most effective way. But I think you still need that sort of grounding in those channels and that understanding of how everything works together.
So it, like, falls on the CRM team. And this is, like, this is one of the biggest challenges, I feel. Because, I mean, firstly, I said this, like, CRM does not equal email marketing. And email marketing, which is, like, not personalized and it's not, you know, like, you don't have some kind of experimentation structure, is also not being done well. So you just have the spray and pray approach. And then the CRM person comes in and they're like, we need to do this, we need to do that. And then, like, that change management, it's like, you know, being a cowboy and herding a glacier. It's just, it's like super, so. And if you've got the product management team on the product, like, feature side, and they're convinced, okay, great, let's then go to the next team and, like, the next stakeholder to try and convince them. You just start somewhere to convince people that, like you said, like, in-app messaging, it's so underutilized and it's so powerful because it's an in-market. They're already there. But then how do people use it? You know, it's like very invasive pop-ups or things that aren't necessarily personalized or something that would actually take them away from their current journey. And it's almost like either the company doesn't understand what the approach can be, or, you know, you're just, like, ticking the box and moving on because you're not, like, finding it important. So that's also quite a big thing to struggle with. We've got all these channels and they can work together so beautifully, but it's really hard to kind of shift the thinking internally to say, okay, cool, you know, this is how we're going to approach it. We're going to turn it upside down. You're not going to give me an email brief. You're going to give me a business brief, and I'm going to translate it into the channels and the segments and, you know, the objectives, etc.
Absolutely. I think I couldn't agree with that more. I think, like, that's, and that brings us to that point, right? Like, I think it's also geared towards, like, all of these things are geared towards how you actually want to create impact through CRM for your business, right? Like, I've met so many folks who say, you know, even after all that segmentation and all that personalization, none of it matters because it doesn't create an impact on your bottom line. Or, you know, it's like, there is a section of that, maybe where it's applicable to a much higher extent than the companies where it's not really applicable, or that's maybe you don't see it in the revenue numbers right away, but it's the long game with CRM, which is often hard to prove. So how do you tackle it? Like, and how do you start sort of talking about, you know, or you start showing impact from CRM, and how do you move into, like, positioning it as something which is a long-term game and, you know, something that needs to have all these best practices that we often speak about?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to the response to that question, or, like, my experience or my approach to that. The first one is the education piece. And the second one is, like, how you position, you know, what you want to position. So let's say, for example, email. Email, it can be a powerful channel, not necessarily to drive conversions sometimes. Drive sales. It also depends on what your conversion is. So in some instances, if you've got, for example, a post-purchase campaign, okay, sure, there might be cross-selling elements. It depends, right? It depends. Let's say your post-purchase campaign, it has one cross-selling element, but the rest is just product education. That's perfect. So if that doesn't drive revenue, that's not a loss. That's a win, because then you're going to go for engagement. You're going to go for browsing behavior. You're going to go for, like, in email engagement, instead of saying success is, you know, revenue from this email or this trigger or automation. So it's also like, but then you have to pull everyone along for the journey, and everyone needs to understand, okay, I'm going to report on this now. Recurring reports is gonna come in, and if you don't see revenue from this one thing, that's okay. Like, that's not the metric that we're judging it against. So Yeah, I think the education piece is one thing. And then also, you know, how you approach reporting on it is also so important, because not everyone is analytical. Not everyone is data oriented. Some people just want to see like a one hit wonder. You know, that's the metric. Okay, open rates, great. Okay, well done. We're making targets. It's like, okay, fine. And so you have to be careful to not be like, no, it's a vanity metric. I'm going to give you all of them and then give you the insights. No, because then they get distracted and then they've got too many questions. So it's like, okay, cool. You sit around the table and you see, what is it that we want the email marketing channel to be? What do we want it to be as part of the marketing mix? What do we think it can be? Because let's say, for example, if you tell me email doesn't drive revenue, my first question is going to be why, and what have you tried to prove that hypothesis? So then you need to go down a whole rabbit hole of doing everything you can to see, okay, but if it's not a revenue driver, what is it? So you can have instincts as a marketer, but the fun thing about CRM, the most fun thing I find, is more often than not, I've got my boots in my mouth, because you'll do a trial, you'll do a hypothesis, and you get proven wrong. Like your instinct was completely wrong. I love that. And it's you know, sometimes you have to eat humble pie. You have to be like, you know what, this is what it's going to mean for us. So my approach always is, okay, cool. You take what is there. You've got like, you do your quick audit. You bring everyone along for the journey. Like, okay, this is the current state of things. This is what we want to do, which is always revenue. So we're going to try our very best. We're going to go down a 3, 6, 9, or even 12 month rabbit hole. We're going to try everything. We're going to test up to high heavens. We're going to, you know, push coupons. We're going to do everything to get email to be that revenue driver. And sneakily, like in the background, you're also going to learn quite a lot in terms of how you communicate with this specific channel. So that by the end of it, maybe you've proven wrong. Maybe you do start driving quite a lot of revenue, or maybe you realize that in terms of the life cycle, it's an incredibly powerful awareness and engagement tool. Great. Now you've got email as like quite a sturdy, concrete part of your marketing mix. Great. Next, push notifications. Let's do exactly the same thing. It's like test and learn and figure out what is your marketing mix. And I think my favorite part also is at the end of that, you get to know your segments, you get to know your channel, you get to know your product. And at the end of that rabbit hole, like once you kind of like in it, you can start forecasting and quantifying a segment or a channel. So that if the business has, let's say, for example, there's something, you know, they're missing target this month, you can say, okay, I know that one push notification to this certain segment will bring in a 7% conversion rate, which would then lead to X in revenue. You know, or this channel can do this, this can do that, which then becomes extremely powerful, because that's the beauty of CRM and the data that you don't have in above the line. You know, in the other stuff, it's very like, you know, it's going to have an impact, but it's like it's a vague kind of abstract impact. Whereas with CRM, it's not. It's like, it's all very, you tag your links, you know, you segment and you test and you do all these things and you get a lot of learnings. But yeah, so that's the one side. But then back to the other side, this like your internal almost like education piece is also very important, because it doesn't matter if you present your learnings and people are like, yeah, but I still feel like, you know, like I am of the opinion that an email should have 3 CTAs, and you're like, okay cool, we're gonna take that on and we're gonna do a whole educational thing on that. So it's yeah, that's kind of like a two-pronged approach almost, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's wonderful. I think I see it so often. And one anecdote that comes to mind is, I was working with a client recently and they had really bad Trustpilot reviews. And what they did, they had done is they said, okay, you know, the reason why we're having these bad Trustpilot reviews is right after a user has a bad experience with us, they go on Trustpilot and, you know, they give us a bad review. And yeah. The CRM team sort of went in and they asked the data team for that event, because they were clearly able to see which event was the one where it, you know, it would lead to unsatisfied service. And right after that, they would send an email and they would ask them to give them their feedback, and we'd love to, you know, sort of improve and work on that. And that way, since that day, I think they just stopped Trustpilot reviews from going down. And that brings that your point to, you know, to the forefront, which is like, CRM is not, it's not like it's a revenue driver, or it can be a brand branding effort. You know, it can help you with like a lot of business problems. And I think I really liked what you said, right? Like you come with a business brief rather than a campaign brief. And I think that's what, if you allow your CRM team to grow in that organic way, then you can have these kind of initiatives. Whereas if you don't make that effort where you can, you know, where you can show these kind of impact, it becomes very hard for CRM teams to be more than a dispatch center where you are just sending out comms to.
You said something important, the word help. Because that's CRM. I always say it's a very kumbaya field. You want everyone to sit around the same table and we're people pleasers. And we all just like our personalities basically sit us around that table to say, how can I help you? How can I automate your life? How can I integrate better? How can I serve your bottom, you know, your bottom line? And it's hardly ever only marketing. Like more of the conversations are around operations. So that is such a fantastic example of someone being in a conversation where probably the CRM team recognized a possible solve for something that was really a pain point internally, right? Because you know someone's head is rolling every time you've got a bad Trustpilot review, and like the CRM team, they have to sit around that conversation to know that it's actually something that they can help solve. So in so doing and like solving that one issue, maybe someone else around that table also identifies an issue that says, maybe, you know, CRM, do you think you can help us with this? And I mean, more often than not, yes, they can, because even if it doesn't come out of the communications or marketing, it can still be automated. It can still be, you know, integrated better. We can still like help with all this, like these issues, even with like copy and stuff. If you're starting to talk about, I don't know if we have time to get into like machine learning and AI, but this is like, everyone is, it's the trend. It's the trend. And you know, people have been running with it for a long time. And now
what would be a podcast episode without mentioning AI and machine learning anyway? So go ahead.
Yeah. Like, how are you going to make the title of this? AI? Can you help? But I'm not even kidding. Even with me, like trying with my progression plan and stuff, I've been pulling in AI help, and sometimes it's really cool to just feed in ideas and the machine just kind of pumps out a summary of your ideas and you're like, ah, okay, that's where I was headed. Cool. Not to rely on it too much. Obviously, like, you know, you still need that human interaction, but yeah, so we've got this thing internally where now we're going to adopt this new tool and it's like very focused on machine learning. And I learned that we've got a machine learning team. We've got this team of data engineers, like brains on legs. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Now we're going to have access to them. Like, how can I drag my team along to, you know, and it has to go both ways. Like we have to enrich their processes and their lives as well. So, you know, how can we help each other? Not just you sending us lists, but like, we are going to give you feedback on X, or we're going to help you with Y. That's why I always say CRM is a kumbaya field, because you have to be in the room. You have to have the conversations. You have to know what's going on to like float a possible solution, possible automation.
And I think it goes back to what you said earlier, right? Like, or what we were discussing earlier, where you have to be a generalist specialist, because if you are in that room where a business problem has been discussed, but you have no idea how CRM can help you either from a content perspective or from a tech perspective or from a data perspective or from a user psychology perspective. Maybe what we are saying is just not empathetic enough or whatever.
Marketing.
Or communication, If you don't have come with that generalist mindset and know what CRM is all about, you typically wouldn't be able to come up with solutions such as the Trustpilot one, right? So it's like you do need all those facets to your to your CRM brain. Otherwise, you might not be as effective as you want to be, when you talk about CRM problems or solving problems via CRM.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, no, it's such an interesting field. And I always say, like, I don't know if you get this a lot, but explaining what you do for a living, I just say marketing, because it's like, like, oh, you're a data scientist. I'm like, oh, no, not even close. But yeah, it's like the bridge between marketing and data. So I always explain it this way. You have to imitate a face-to-face relationship using digital touch points. And how do you best do that? Like, you know, that is such a cool example, the Trustpilot example, because your customer wants a voice. They want to air an opinion. And you giving them a voice avoids it, like negatively impacting the company.
Yeah.
And whoever that team was, like, kudos to them, because they were obviously also receptive to trying new things and like adopting it as, you know, like a new process or whatever into the structure, which is also sometimes rare because people are quite like comfortable in, you know, complacent in their ways. And CRM is always coming in and shaking things up. Ah, I can do it better. I can automate it for you. Let's just, you know, do everything differently.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful to talk to you, and I think we definitely need a part two because of, you know, we had like I think half the topics that we didn't even cover, and I feel it would be great to get your opinion on
anytime.
It. One last thing that I'd like to ask you before I let you go is, you know, what is one thing about CRM, or maybe a few more than one, but at least one, which you feel is something that people don't often get about CRM, and they would really benefit if they got, you know, that understanding about what CRM is or how it can be impactful for your business. And while you think about it, right, like I think there are just so many things that come under that bucket where, you know, you might position this answer for someone who's just entering the field, but also someone who's maybe managing you as a personnel, right? Yeah. And saying, like, you know, how do you make that case for CRM even to a senior leadership within your company, right? You can take your sweet time.
I've got one, and I really hope this isn't like a hippie answer. But on the one hand, let's answer the question on the assumption that everyone understands it's not an email and push notification field. Like CRM is not only, you know, ops, like a MarTech ops. Let's assume that, because that's going to be always going to be your first challenge. Then the response would be like 100%. There is a problem that you have at work. There is a challenge that you're facing with. There's a process that's resource intensive, and 100% there is at least one thing that the CRM field or your CRM expert can help with. We can make something easy for you if you know how to position it. So it's not that you have to understand CRM. You don't have to, because, you know, you've got your own specialist thing, right? Everyone has everything. Everyone's an expert in their own field. But if you can start understanding that the conversation needs to go both ways instead of just one way, tick the box, get the channels out, then you'd be quite surprised at what CRM can help you with. And if from the CRM side, you also then have to be willing to sit in conversations that not necessarily relevant to you, to learn things that you might not understand. You might have to like go Google most of it afterwards. You might have to do some additional upskilling and courses in certain realms that you might dislike. Like me with data, I love data. I'm not that good with maths. So that's like that's a tough one. Excel, I hated it in the beginning. I could marry it now. So like, you know, you have to explore realms that you might not have like previously explored. But yeah, I think it's like if we could get the questions on the table, like 100% in every department, in every team, in every individual, there is something that the CRM team would be either busy with or would have learned, or that they can make life easy for you. So yeah, like involve your CRM team, folks. You heard it here first. Bring them to the table. Bring them to the planning. Bring them to the strategy. Because yeah, there's some things in the data and the segments and your customer that the CRM team might understand that you might just be missing. Some things that could be actioned that you might not be aware of yet. And so we learn. Now you're aware of it. Tomorrow there's another challenge. You know, then you're aware of the second challenge. Go to the third one. So yeah, I think it's that. I don't know if it's
love it.
Yeah, that would be my answer.
No, I think it's great, and I think that's what you know. It's the point about sitting in meetings where you don't necessarily understand everything or you can't contribute. I think is such a undervalued aspect of being a CRM professional, because I think you just find yourselves in these even like experimentation and, you know, like data accuracy or data hygiene meetings, and you have no clue how data is being transferred from the back end to, you know, the warehouse to whatever. And then, but you need to understand it at least at a very basic level to at least be in those meetings. And I think that's where the fun is as well. If you can be okay with that uncertainty.
Even better, invite yourself to the engineering or the product roadmap sessions. invite yourself, because you're not going to understand about like maybe 1% of the conversation while they're chit-chatting in the beginning. The rest is going to be completely alien. And then like, you just need to start Googling and you just need to start learning the language. And you, like, it's like you said, you're not going to understand it intimately. Like, you're not going to be able to jump in and like, you know, do a landing page, but you might eventually understand how certain systems work. And again, some things that you might want to integrate that you can then automate or like make easier even for the engineers. So yeah, that's get into the room, get around that table.
I love it. And thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Annalisa. It was great having you. And I felt I didn't see that we hit the hour mark. Otherwise, I definitely have a lot more questions for you. So we definitely need a part two of this. Yes, we definitely want to do that.
That's great. But for this time, thank you. I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. I love the conversations. It's nice to have someone to chat to about this field that we all just get so excited about.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. And and hopefully we see you again for part two. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, Karan.